You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Students in Illinois are connecting, virtually, with students in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to explore their city's common histories with racial violence. The project is taking a look at what's known as the Race Riot of 1919 in Chicago and the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921, which deeply affected the black communities in both cities, and where segregation has left lasting scars now that we even know a century later. The History Exchange, it's a program from the Chicago Bulls and the Oklahoma City Thunder. It brings virtual lessons to the students. And we're joined now by two guests who recently spoke with classrooms as part of the program. Peter Cole is a professor of history at Western Illinois University and founder and co-director of the Chicago Race Riot of 1919 Commemoration Project. Peter, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I'd also like to welcome Franklin Cozy Gay, who is Executive Director of the Chicago Center for Youth Violence Prevention at the University of Chicago, also co-director of the Commemoration Project. Franklin, thanks to you for being here as well.
Thank you for this opportunity.
And I do also want to note to listeners, we did reach out to two of the high school history teachers involved in this program. They agreed to be part of our conversation, but ultimately the Chicago Bulls PR team apparently told them they could not participate, though they never responded directly to us to explain why not. Listeners, I do want to invite you to join our conversation. If you have a question for our guests about these two terrible incidents from our history, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Franklin, I want to begin with you. Can you tell us what happened in Chicago in 1919?
No, thank you for this opportunity. And I'd like to just uplift, you know, I have a public health background. And so I really would love for Peter to unlift this story as a historian.
Okay, Peter, I'll begin with you then. Can you tell us what happened in Chicago 1919?
Sure. We are sort of two heads, but we are in two different places right now because of the world we live in. You know, in 1919, in the summer of 1919, July 27th specifically, was a Sunday afternoon. Some black children were swimming in Lake Michigan because it was a hot Sunday afternoon. And these kids basically crossed an invisible line in the waters of Lake Michigan. And in so doing, crossed into a so-called black from a black part of the lake to a white part. Even though Chicago and Illinois were outside of the South, it was customary for racial segregation to exist. Not that black people are happy about it, but nevertheless, the white majority did that. And so when these kids basically crossed an invisible line in the water, a white man on the beach started to throw rocks at these children. And ultimately, a 17-year-old boy named Eugene Williams was killed. And the failure, well, of course, the killing of this child, this black child, for what we could say swimming while black. And then the subsequent failures on the part of the Chicago police, which refused to arrest the white man who was pointed out for being the killer, along with the long and deep-seated racial tensions that already existed in the city but had increased during and after World War I, resulted in this conflagration that becomes known then as the Chicago Race Riot of 1919, in which 38 people were killed, 537 people were injured in a week of mass violence across the city in which mobs of white men were essentially marauding and looking for random black people to kill. That becomes known as the Chicago Race Riot of 1919. It's still the worst episode of racial violence in the history of the city and one of the worst in the state, and was part of a whole summer of racial violence targeting black people across the country in dozens of places, in a particularly horrible moment in a long history of racism and violence perpetrated against black people in the United States. And, you know, there's much more to say about it, but that's sort of the short version.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Franklin, can you talk then about how often are these, is that, you know, so-called race riot in particular talked about, is it even in the public consciousness in the city of Chicago?
Thank you. You know, in the spirit of baseball, part of this was a way to serve Peter the pitch so I can talk about the current work and how it relates to violence in Chicago. Peter and I often say that the Chicago race riots serve as an origin story for segregation in Chicago. The work that I do around violence prevention, particularly through a public health lens, aims to step away from an individual level of looking at violence and focusing on the root causes. And the root causes are tied to structural mechanisms that are tied to policies and practices that were shaped by racist acts. And unfortunately, very few know about the Chicago race riot, nor the other events that happened during the quote unquote Red Summer of 1919.
You know, and I've got to say, as somebody, I reside downstate now, I'm much more familiar with the Springfield so-called race riot of 1908, which famously, it depends on how you want to look, it led to the creation of the NAACP, right? This is something that's gotten national attention for its role in national history that way. But the Chicago event was much less familiar to me. Is that something you encounter frequently, Franklin, when you're talking to people about this?
Absolutely. And our aim is to uplift this through the support of many of our community stakeholders, understanding that it's the community-based organizations, our civic leaders, that are at the forefront. They're at the front when it comes to collaborating with each other to really build strengths in the community. And so what we found through our mobilization, through lectures, and Peter can talk to you about his role as a history professor and what his students know, that very few know about this history.
Yeah, Peter, before we get into that, let me ask you about the language we use around these sort of incidents. I mentioned the Tulsa race riot, which more recently people are calling that a race massacre. I wonder if you can talk about that, how it relates to the Chicago race riot. Is riot the best term? Would massacre be more appropriate? How do you view that?
You know, I think it's a great and important question. I appreciate you raising it. The truth of the matter is, before the 1960s, the term race riot was commonly used in the 19th and 20th centuries to describe events such as what happened in Chicago in 1919, or Tulsa in 1921, or Atlanta in 1906, or East St. Louis in 1917, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, you know, over time, the term has shifted. And so we say historically, the term always meant very clearly, essentially white people, often groups of white people, targeting one or generally multiple Black people with violence, right? Sometimes these are also thought of as lynchings, and that's also an important term to sort of use, although lynching often was seen as sort of a single individual being targeted as opposed to like a mass event with many people. In the 1960s, as a result of Black people complaining about the persistence of racism, for instance, in Los Angeles in 1965, Black people rise up in protest, and sometimes they destroy property, right? They were protesting racism, but ironically, white people saw the Black people as the cause of the so-called riot, even though what they were doing was really just sort of expressing centuries of discontent, right, over sort of enslavement, segregation, inequality, et cetera. Fast forward to the 21st century, now we think about it, we think about Ferguson in 2014 in Missouri, or Baltimore, Maryland in 2015. Again, in both those places, you saw Black people protesting white police killing Black people, right? But unfortunately, the lens through the media, often television, but sort of also through a white majority that's been programmed to think of Black people as the problem. Black people are the ones who are complaining about the problem, right? And so it's sort of, the irony is that we're talking about race riot being a problematic term, but it's in a way another form of victim blaming, right? Like when people think race riot, they should be thinking about the historic way that in Chicago, white people literally start to kill dozens of Black people. Sadly, the term has changed over time. And so we do have to have this conversation. I very much appreciate that people in Tulsa have essentially rebranded the events of 1921, which is actually a more clear massacre. I think the term is an appropriate one in Tulsa 1921, but also in many other instances in US history. The Chicago one's a little more complicated, I think actually one could call it a massacre, even though the events actually are quite different in Chicago versus Tulsa in these 2-year gap. In Tulsa, it's just like mass killings, 300 Black people killed, right? And not a single white person. That's a massacre, right? And so words have meaning, words have power. Sometimes a single word or phrase doesn't fully explain the events of the past. That's just the nature of life, I suppose, but that's why we have these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, this is what public radio tries to do, right? It's complicated. I should remind our listeners, you've been listening to Peter Cole, who's a professor of history at Western Illinois University. We're also speaking with Franklin Cozy Gay, who's executive director of the Chicago Center for Youth Violence Prevention at the University of Chicago. They're both co-directors of the Chicago Race Riot of 1919 Commemoration Project. And Franklin, can you talk about when did you first learn about the 1919 event in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, I happen to be a student at a school, proud graduate from Holy Angels Elementary, which is located in the Bronzeville community. And as Peter described, was a part of the constrained community where Blacks were forced to live due to de facto segregation. And so because of that, I benefited from the rich mural public art that we would see along what is now an abandoned railway, but used to be the Kenwood branch line of the transit system, the public transit system. And so I had an opportunity to learn a lot about my history through public art. And it was actually as an elementary school student in the Bronzeville community where I learned about the Chicago race riots.
And do you find in your work today, working with youth, is this story, how do you make connections for young people that you are trying to, you know, prevent from being involved, either victims and perpetrators of violence? It's all kind of a big circle, we know, in a lot yes. of cases. How do you relate this to them, you know, their past, their present, and try to paint a different future for them?
Thank you. You know, and so Peter and I, we do bike tours as one way to uplift this story. We understand that when it comes to acquiring knowledge, that you need to have different modalities, different approaches. And so as someone with a public health background, it's incredibly important for me to shift away from this kind of individual level. I appreciate that you acknowledge that when it comes to being a perpetrator or a victim, there's no real dichotomy, right? It's a circle that you can be both. And so really what I like to do is uplift the actual structural harms that have happened. And one way that we do that is through bike tours. We can talk about it, and we have given plenty of presentations to schools and the community groups, but when we show, it's different. So how do we show? When we're on our bike tour, not only do we highlight where victims died, but we also highlight structural things that have happened. We bike down State Street. We show them the empty, you know, blocks and blocks of empty lots where housing projects used to be for public housing projects. We talk about the role of the urban renewal project and how the highways disrupted communities. It's really around these structural factors that disrupt communities' ability to support each other. And it's one thing to talk about a lecture, but when we show it through tours, it's a little bit more engaging. And so that's something that's one of the methods that we use.
And Pete, go ahead, Peter.
Please. So as far as getting young people interested in this, the fact that it was young people who were the first victims of killings, right, like instantly connects. And especially when we're speaking to young people, whether they're college students or teenagers or younger in Chicago, they understand on a hot day that you go to Lake Michigan. They understand that, you know, it's cooler. They understand that basically racial tensions and violence exist in the city. But even outside of Chicago, if I speak to sort of people elsewhere, it's very easy to sort of connect to young people because young people were the targets, right? Like as tragic as that is, I mean, actually, as you know, earlier this week, a 13-year-old was killed by the Chicago police in Chicago. And so that's in a way not too hard, right, to connect past and present. It is very sad that it is so easy to connect past and present. But I also wanted to say one other thing about what Franklin says. So like, for instance, when we go on our bike tours, which we love doing, and we'll do some this upcoming summer, right? When we cross over from east to west, the Dan Ryan Expressway, which was built in the first Mayor Daley's administration, literally to protect his predominantly white neighborhood, Bridgeport, from encroachment from Black people whose population numbers were still increasing after World War II in the 1950s in the Second Great Migration, right? Like we can physically show people places. This is how racism operates through policy and practice in ways that are incredibly powerful, right? And then, of course, people on the tours can just observe who lives in one neighborhood, who lives in another, and start to make their own conclusions, right? So we see our job as sort of like messengers, and then people can sort of determine for themselves, of course, what the message is.
Peter, just about a minute left in our conversation. I wonder if you can, like your colleague Franklin, I too am a product of a Catholic elementary school in the Chicago area, but I was not educated about this in elementary school or in high school. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about white people not being taught about these in schools. What are the implications of not talking openly about Tulsa, Chicago, Springfield?
I think the short version is that the reason that there's still mass protest against racism, but more particularly why there is still racism and violence, and I'm mindful that the George Floyd's killer is on trial right now as we speak, right? Like, is that the attempt to forget, deny, ignore sort of the history of racial violence, that it does not impact what's happening today is absurd. Right. Like, and so the only way actually is that white people who are still the majority, and I'm one of them, right, is to know these subjects. Trying to sort of ignore the past has not resulted in the racial harmony and equality that we seek. And so we say that therefore what we have to do is sort of rip the Band-Aid off, right, and sort of take a look at what's underneath, because it's failed, right? Like denial has failed, right? If we really want to sort of move forward as a community, as a city, as a nation, you know, we have to actually have an honest conversation about this long, long history of racism and violence. And it's not just in Alabama or Georgia, but it's also in Chicago and Springfield and downstate.
Right here in the north in Illinois. Peter Cole is a professor of history at Western Illinois University. Franklin Cozy Gay is director of the Chicago Center for Youth Violence Prevention at the University of Chicago. They are co-directors of the Chicago Race Riot of 1919 Commemoration Project. Thank you both for being here. More to come here on the 21st after a short break. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.